He's the famous frontman pulling double duty for both the Angels and the Screaming Jets. But even one of the busiest musos in Australia still has to stop for lunch and a chat to Oz Music's biggest names. This is the Oztober Lunch with Gleeso from the Screaming Jets.
And this is our Lunch with Gleeso catch-up podcast, with conversations you may have missed earlier and the parts we just didn't have time to play today.
Yes, unreal to be joined by Greedy, one of the blokes who forged or helped forge that great Australian pub rock tradition that continues in some way, shape or form to this day.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
How you going, Greedy?
I'm good. I'm excited about the fact that that you've been able to. We've gone from Rocktober to Oztober.
Yes.
And I've had a great. I think the biggest crowd we ever played to was part of 2SM's Rocktober. There's 103,000 non-paying customers at the front of the Opera House in October 1979. I think us and My Sex and I think Flowers, and then at the. On the other side of the coin, the new bands and the old bands, they had Dragon and they had Stevie Wright doing Evie's Part 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Oh yeah, I think that's part of the legendary footage you can see of little Stevie making one of his many comebacks over the years.
Oh yeah,
those concerts, they were amazing. They were kind of free concerts. They used to do beach concerts. I remember seeing Midnight Oil at a beach concert at Redhead Beach in Newcastle, and there was no fences, there was no payment to get in. You just rocked up and rocked out, didn't you?
And also, there used to be ones that in town at Hyde Park. They had them at Moore Park. So I don't know who was paying for them, but whoever was around. I mean, there was a beauty that they had. I remember when Mungo Jerry came to Australia, and I think they did one paid show, but then they wanted to do another show. So they did a radio show under the Harbour Bridge. They were paid in beer. And they just had cases, and that was their backdrop, just cases and cases and cases of beer. And I guess, I was at an impressionable age, I was really impressed by that. But mind you, there's not much of Mungo Jerry left because of that.
Yeah, right. It might have been a blessing and a curse for them.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, bursting onto the scene in 76 with a name like Mental as Anything, you understand that if you were to come out nowadays with a name like that, the keyboard warriors would be outraged immediately that you could possibly be poking fun at something as serious as Mental as Anything.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, Dave, the first time we put out our little 40 years... In the next month or so, it'll be 40 years since we put out our first record.
Right.
It was Mental as Anything Plays at Your Party. And we got immediately after we put it out, I think somehow we got it to America, and we got a telegram, because it was in the 70s, we got a telegram from somebody in Chicago who was absolutely outraged the fact that we had a song called The Nips Are Getting Bigger, was all about women's nipples, and that we called ourselves Mental as Anything, which was just an insult and to the disabled, and so it started then. But you had to pay. You didn't get so much because you actually had to pay to send a telegram.
So that's
they put their money where their mouth was.
Mental as Anything. Stop. Yes. But it's amazing to know that there were people easily offended out there at that time. But your music has always been. Having a bit of a fun look at some serious things. If you leave me, can I come too? And things like that. So you've always had a bit of a humorous take on the more serious topics.
I think so. Because we went to art school, we had to do something. We had to be humorous, because if otherwise it's art rock and you're in big trouble. Had to be humorous to play for the fussy art students. And so you make a small target by being a bit lighter. And that seemed to work. But, you know, we had a song about Santa Claus's drinking problem and about nuclear war, Apocalypso. So you get these, we did find reason to make fun of things useful, particularly if you play in a lot of pubs.
This is I've talked a few times with a few people over the last making of this show, and it didn't matter whether you were like a straight ahead rock band or a band like yourselves who were like a little bit arty, or a band like Ice House who were maybe a little more keyboard oriented. You still had to have that hard edge when you got into the pubs, didn't you?
Yeah, well, because usually you're quite often playing with other bands of your ilk. The ilk would be flat out, you know, banging away. So, and you had to get heard over all of this, all of this racket. So it did make this the Oz Rock thing of the slam and kick drum, and people, it's the ears, pinned back pretty much. And I think that was, I mean, it was pretty hard ordering a drink in those days too. I mean, at places like Salinas, where the bar is about 150 metres long, it goes one side. But to get to be heard, you had to learn how to do sign language if you wanted to have a drink in those days.
And I guess back then there was far less to choose from. I mean, how many beers are there? Christ, there's too many things to choose from now.
Well, it's like radio stations, TV stations, beer, I mean, everything. This we're inundated with choice now. Nothing but choice. And you know what happens as you get older? I'll tell you this, Dave. When you get to become a senior man like myself, you'll find out that choice is your ruin, because you dither over everything. It's like now, the harmonicas. It used to be the one kind of harmonica. That was it. Now you've got to go on the internet and look at all of the forums, all these thousands of different harmonicas. In the end, you go and get the one you had in the first place. But that's too much choice. Too much choice for the harmonica player.
Before we go, it's time to find out your big plans for the rest of the month.
Oh, for the rest of the month. Well, a lot of things happening this month. End of October into November becomes the 40th anniversary of the first Mentals record coming out. It was called Mentals Plays at Your Party. It was the only press 1,300 of them. I think we're putting out a vinyl. We had a very limited edition vinyl of this record made, again, exact facsimile of the record. So we're doing that. Plus, we're doing lots of stuff. We're doing a bit of audiovisual, which I can't disclose yet, but that's all happening now. Apart from the usual thing of touring Australia, usually a different city every week, which is what we've been doing for the last 42 years, apart from going overseas.
Well, Greedy, it's been great to catch up with you today, mate. And I will see you out there somewhere on the big bad road touring around Australia.
Oh, we're always running each other, Dave.
Absolutely.
This is the Oztober Lunch with Gleeso.